Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and this is a podcast where we take a look at the world around us through a biblical worldview, that is, through the lens of Scripture. Today's podcast is not the podcast I promised you. I promised you a podcast on Christian nationalism, but as many of you know, Pastor John MacArthur passed away yesterday at the age of 86 after more than 50 plus years of ministry at Grace Community Church, where he came in 1969 at the age of 29. In thinking about what to say today, there are people, wiser people, more famous people, more godly people, people who knew him better, who will make wonderful statements about him as a theologian, as a pastor, as an elder statesman in the Christian community and the evangelical world. When most people were compromising, he stayed the course. And all of that is true, and some of these people were more up close and personal than I was. John MacArthur changed my life. I was a hotel executive, and were it not for the ministry of John MacArthur, I would probably still be in the hotel business or would have retired by now, playing golf or something in a country club somewhere, wasting my life. But as it was, I was saved by God's grace. I came to hear the sermons of John MacArthur, and eventually I moved me and my young family, my two little daughters and my wife, from Asheville, North Carolina, to Los Angeles, California. There I attended the Master's Seminary, volunteered in the outreach department until actually I was hired to work in the outreach department in 1998, 1999, or thereabouts. Oddly enough, John MacArthur's office was down the hall from my cubicle in the outreach department. I got to see him periodically. I had lunch with him and a group of other people once or twice, and got to see a side of him many people don't see. I wasn't close to him, as some were, but I saw this. I saw a man who said what he believed and believed what he said and got what he believed from the Bible. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a godly man, and I dare say he changed the world. So bear with me while I just share some random observations with you. Perhaps you'll find them encouraging, maybe surprising. When we began attending Grace Community Church and going to seminary, my daughters were very young, probably 2 and 5. We had made it a point in their short lifetime to introduce them to the pastor of our church, or to say hi to him after a sermon. The churches we attended were very small, 80 to 100 people. Grace Community Church then was running about 6,000. One day after the sermon, my oldest daughter, Grace, turned to Terry, my wife, and said, "Can I say hi to the pastor?" Now here we are in a church of several thousand people, running about 3,000 a service, and there's a big crowd, and there's John MacArthur up front shaking hands and talking to people. He was seemingly miles away. But what do you say to a little girl who you've trained to see the pastor as somebody to love and to talk to? So we took Grace up there, and he turned to her and said, "Who's this?" Grace introduced herself, and for about a minute, she was the only person in the world outside of him. It was just the two of them, and she had his undivided attention. Here's another glimpse at him in a similar vein. At some point, I think it was towards the end of my time in seminary, he published a children's book and his daughter Melinda illustrated it, and they were giving them out to people in the quad at Grace outside the book shack. So we took our little family there. We waited in line. I had a camera, and he was signing books, and Terry brought Grace and Anna up there, and he talked to them and talked to them and talked to them, and then they turned for a picture. And again, he took his time with them. They were the only little girls in the world. He was very kind to them. John MacArthur was a pastor's pastor in every sense of the word, and I had the privilege of seeing some of that in action. Another glimpse I'll give you of him was at a wedding that we attended. My nephew was on staff at Grace Community Church. He was a junior high pastor, and he was getting married to a young woman, and their wedding was taking place off-site at a smaller church. And so John MacArthur came to the wedding. And so we sat down, and sure enough, he came and sat down behind us, and he sat down next to a 12 to 13, 14-year-old girl and her mother. And they sat there, and the little girl said, hey, who are you here for? And John MacArthur said, I'm here for the bride. And she says, well, I'm here for the groom. He goes, oh, you know David? She goes, yeah, I know David. And then the little girl said, well, my name, and I don't remember what her name was, we'll just say Catherine. What's your name? He goes, well, my name's John. She goes, and you know the groom? He goes, yeah, I know the groom. And so the wedding went on and everything else, and he got up and left. And the girl's mother turned to her and said, do you know who that was? And she goes, that was John. He's a friend of David's. She goes, that was John MacArthur, the pastor of Grace Community Church, where David works. And the girl was embarrassed and kind of angry with her mother or frustrated. You didn't tell me who I was talking to. Everybody else knew. Well, that's a picture of the kind of man that he was or is. He's not. He's still alive. He's just in heaven today. But those are some glimpses of John MacArthur. While I was at Grace Church in the outreach department, it fell to me and a colleague, Alexei Komenitsov, to put together a Russian language pastors conference. It was later rolled into the Shepherds Conference, but we had to put this conference together, and the pastors at Grace would speak with simultaneous translation. John MacArthur was to do a Q&A, and I just remember how open he was and how willing he was to share with these men who would be hearing him in a second language. Some might understand him. But one of the things you have to know about John MacArthur, or maybe you don't realize this, he was heavy into missions. And so there are training centers all over the world because he believed in missions. The largest budget in the church was the missions budget. And so he was happy to speak at this conference with 170 Russian pastors from the Pacific Northwest, Northern Southern California, and even a few from Moscow. He was a servant. He cared about people. He really did. He really does. Last night I was reading in Christianity Today magazine. We used to call it Christianity Astray. And they were talking about some of the so-called scandals, like once Grace Church was sued because a man had been in counseling there and he was quote-unquote told to pray and read his Bible more. And later he committed suicide and the family sued the church. And the church won and established a precedent for biblical counseling. And the family appealed, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and Grace Church still won. Now, what Christianity Today and other magazines won't tell you is the man went to counseling, left counseling, was out of counseling for 2 or 3 years, undergoing psychotherapy, and 3 or 4 years later, he committed suicide. His parents were anti-religious, and so they went after Grace Church and lost. I got to see some of this on the inside, and I can just tell you this. Grace Church and John MacArthur have operated with integrity, and these ministries have outlasted other ministries. Think of the moral and ethical collapse of James McDonald. Nobody knows who he is anymore. He used to have the Walk on the Word broadcast on the radio and things like that, and him and Mark Driscoll crashed a Shepherd's Conference and made fools out of themselves. And where is Mark Driscoll now in Mars Hill Church? Or Rob Bell? Rob Bell right now lives in Southern California. He surfs a lot. He writes avant-garde plays, and occasionally he does a stand-up routine. He's really not doing a whole lot right now. You have all these rock star pastors who were arrogant and snorted and looked down at the kind of work that John MacArthur did, the kind of ministry. Robert Schuller, his church folded and closed and sold out and is now a Catholic church. What made John MacArthur unique, I believe, is his fidelity to the Word of God and the God of that Word. And his ministry speaks for itself. And I remember traveling to Russia, and I was teaching in Russia, and I was in this town called Nalchik, which none of you have probably ever heard of, and isn't like Moscow or St. Petersburg. And I was talking to a local religious official. They had their structure there. Russian Baptists had bishops. They're like regional managers. And the thing that struck me is, they knew who John MacArthur was. He was like Elvis, and I don't mean that Elvis was a terrible person. John MacArthur was a wonderful person. But you have no idea of the impact that John MacArthur made in Europe, in Italy, and all over the world. You look at, and I'm not taking anything away from these men, but Tim Keller or even John Piper, they're known here, but they're not known all over the world like John MacArthur was. That was a special ministry. God blessed him in a special way. He took this man and did incredible things through him, just like he does through us today. John MacArthur was a man of the Word. He loved the God of this word, and this he preached this word in season and out of season. I remember visiting a pastor once, and he hated John MacArthur. He always criticized John MacArthur, and he always tried to get under my skin by doing that. But I was visiting him. He was a colleague, and he was going on one of his rants, and I said, look, you're not going to hurt John MacArthur by telling me bad things about John MacArthur. I love John MacArthur. I know that you don't love John MacArthur, but I have a couple of questions to ask you. And the guy goes, go ahead and ask him. I said, you know, you're working on your sermon here, aren't you? And he goes, oh, yeah, working on my sermon. I said, great, great, great. Tell me, whose commentaries are those there on your desk there? He goes, well, that's the MacArthur commentaries. I said, I thought so. And that Bible over there, is that a MacArthur study Bible? And you don't like John MacArthur? People didn't like John MacArthur because he was blunt. He was clear. He was precise. He was controversial. He had convictions. He took a stand. And sometimes people didn't like the stands that he took. But time and scripture proved him almost always right. I think you're going to see that John MacArthur is something like the Spurgeon of our time, except he preached differently than Spurgeon, verse by verse, inch by inch. John MacArthur, like him or not, made an impact on the world. That is no exaggeration. He made an impact on my church. He made an impact on many churches during COVID. I think the whole COVID controversy and his battle with the city in LA County was probably the last great battle he fought for sanity in evangelical churches who wanted to worship God and not be persecuted and limited by the state overreaching its authority. As you know, many churches closed, and Grace Church eventually reopened, and they were criticized. I remember Capitol Hill Baptist Church's Jonathan Lehman, the Nine Marks guy, writing an article criticizing John MacArthur not so subtly. And I remember our church reaching out to him to ask him if we could call him during one of our elder meetings and have him talk to us about the reopening process that went on at Grace Church, and he agreed to do it. We recorded the session, and I just want to play a little excerpt of that for you, and I want you to listen to his thought process and his clear biblical thinking. I don't know how this will translate to this recording device, but here goes. The question that we posed to him was how the Lordship of Christ should affect our decision when it comes to opening and reopening the worship service to our congregation, that is, to worship in person. And here's his answer.
Well, that is the sole authority in the church. The Lord doesn't share his authority with any worldly entity or any worldly government or any worldly ruler. So the church has one Lord, and we're commanded by him to come together. We're commanded by him not to forsake the assembling, as you know, as Hebrews 10 tells us. I was saying last Sunday from Matthew chapter 16, where the Lord says, I will build my church. And then in chapter 18, the first thing he says to the church is, if somebody sins, go to them and take two or three witnesses and then tell the church, which assumes at the beginning that the church is a gathered group of people that is more than two or three. So now you're in the gathered church. On the day of Pentecost, you had the church born 3,000 people. They didn't have a building, so they met in the temple. And they did that for, you know, daily, progressing through the book of Acts, as many as 20,000 people in a few chapters. And they were always meeting together in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, prayers, and ministry of the word. So this is the gathered church, and this is what our Lord expects. We're the shining light in the world. And the only thing that would cause us not to meet would be an imminent danger. People just didn't buy the narrative. This is like 4 weeks into nobody at church, and I'm preaching to the empty auditorium. The latest statistic given to the court, you have one chance in 19.1 million, if you live in California, of dying from COVID every year. So once our people realized that this had become something other than a protection of safety, and by the way, we have these thousands of people here now every week for 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks. We have no one who's sick, no one who's been in the hospital, and no one who's died. So we didn't tell them to come. We didn't say, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. We put sanitizer out available if they wanted it. We had masks on a table if they felt more comfortable. We had an outdoor tent if they wanted to be outdoors. We didn't want to force people to make choices that they might not understand why we're making them when you know, the health department is telling you something differently. So we just said we're going to be open. And if you want to come, you come. It's you're an adult. It's your decision. This is a virus that everybody now knows isn't nearly as lethal as we were told. Millions of people were going to die and all that. So I think the way to go about this is in a very natural way. Do what you're going to do and encourage people to do what they're comfortable with. We're still saying to people, you know, if you feel more comfortable at home and watching on live stream, by all means do that, because we don't want to make this an experience that you're going to be worried about.
The discussion went on from there, but I want you to think about this. Here we are, a church in Northern California, and this pastor, this man, takes time to talk to us during an elder meeting at night. We call him on his phone. He takes the call. He answers our questions. He explains things to us. This is John MacArthur. And you know what? We followed his biblical advice. We reopened. The church flourished. People came here because their churches have been closed. Their shepherds were unable or unwilling to care for them. I'll always be grateful to John MacArthur for his ministry to my family, his ministry to churches worldwide, and the stands that he took and the integrity that he showed and the convictions that he held and stood up for, because they were biblically based. And there are few people today who do this. I hope you will join me in praying for the leaders of Grace Community Church, the pastors, the elders, the people there. Join me in praying for his family, his wife, his children, his grandchildren, and his great-grandchildren. John MacArthur has run the race, he's kept the faith, and he's finished well, and we are better off for his ministry. Who knew that a 29-year-old pastor, a Hume Lake speaker to youth, would come to a little church of 250 in Southern California and change the world? Well, that's it for now, I think. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, share it with other people. Like us on whatever platform you listen on. Give us a good review. That helps us with the algorithm. This is Keith Crosby signing off for the Out of My Mind podcast. May God bless you and God keep you.